Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did a lot to try and get America to live up to its creed, as seen in the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal. King wasn't like some of today's so-called progressive leaders who say that America was and is hopelessly racist, but rather he wanted to work within the system to get America to live up to that which we stated. Often Dr. King's Christianity is downplayed, although that was the worldview that helped inspire his work. Lee Habib is the creator and host of Our American Stories for radio. He said about Dr. King recently, quote, "The truth is, one of the most influential men of the 20th century was inspired to do the things he did by a book, the Bible, written thousands of years ago," end quote. Lee Habib joins us now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Lee, great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Jerry.
Sure. You know, let me just say one quick observation, and then I'll let just you wax eloquent here. The most famous speech, perhaps, of Martin Luther King Jr. is the I Have a Dream from August 1963. And within the first couple of sentences, maybe it's even the second or third sentence, he quotes Isaiah 40. He doesn't say, now Isaiah says, but he just says, you know, I believe every valley shall be exalted and every mountain hill made low, or whatever. He just goes right into it. A lot of his hearers, by the way, would have known that was from the Bible, but I just find that interesting. It's almost like scripture is to be found, you know, in a lot of his speeches, you know, like, let justice roll down. That's a quote from Amos 5 and so forth. Okay, your thoughts.
Well, there's no doubt, not just in that speech, but he actually quotes scripture in most, if not all of his speeches and all of his sermons, because he was a pastor, and a pastor right out of graduate school all the way until the day of his assassination. He co-pastored a church with his father in Atlanta. But the interesting thing that I wanted to get at was how the media and modern communications have emphasized Dr. King. And we heard it over and over again last week, Dr. King, Dr. King, Dr. King. But he wasn't a doctor who ever removed someone's appendix, and he didn't wear a stethoscope. He had a doctorate, a PhD, in Bible studies, in divinity, in theology, and same with his master's. And he spent the first 6 years of his life after graduate school in a Dexter Baptist Church in Montgomery. And moreover, at the time that the nation's soul was in a struggle with this thing called segregation and racism, which he and his family experienced personally, there were two folks vying for the soul of the nation. Malcolm X, under the tutelage of Elijah Muhammad, was calling for violence and calling for a revolution, and mocking openly the Christian alternative, which was King's, which is peaceful resistance, which was loving thy neighbor. At one point, Malcolm X actually called outright Martin Luther King and Uncle Tom and said, we shouldn't be singing, we shall overcome. We should be swinging, and routinely called white people white devils. And King's Christian vision ultimately won the day, thank God. And Malcolm X's, well, we know where that ended. He ultimately repudiated the violence and separatist notions of the Nation of Islam, and was assassinated for it.
Isn't that interesting? And by the way, I want to make a quick observation here. If anybody is ever traveling to the Atlanta Hartsfield Airport and you find yourself with a little time on your hands, then make your way to, the last time I checked, it was Terminal E, but you could just ask anybody there at the airport that works there about the little display of the Martin Luther King, the Reverend Martin Luther King. You can see his robe that he wore there at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. You can see, his own handwriting in this one of his sermons, like his farewell sermon at that Dexter Avenue that you were talking about. You can see other things there. I just thought that's very interesting, but that's so true. And by the way, speaking of Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, isn't that where Rosa Parks came in one night to meet with him? They had a small impromptu meeting. Hey, how do we deal with this bus situation? And then out of that was born a peaceful boycott of the bus situation. And that was really, in effect, the beginning of the civil rights movement in an all peaceful
way. That is exactly right. You hit it on the head. And Rosa Parks, if you ever visit the museum dedicated to her, she was a girl of God too. And the way she did what she did, the dignity with which she did it, the elegance with which she did it. And by the way, I'm wondering whether I could do the same as a Christian. It was remarkable how Parks, King, and the civil rights movement advocates of the day carried themselves under not just duress, but outright violence against them. King, one of his most elegant essays of his life, Letters from a Birmingham Jail, which is just, in essence, an extended essay, he wrote while under arrest in a prison and was writing about the reason why he decided that he should violate man's laws when they're not in accord with God. And he gave example after example in the Bible where folks in the Bible violated man's laws when they were not in comportment with God. But the question is how and in what ways? And King, to the end, was carrying himself in the way that a Christian pastor would do, by a good example, by the example that Christ set. And his manner, his methodologies were absolutely beautiful. You know, his last speech, his last sermon, the night before he was assassinated, he talks about visiting Jericho Road because he was wondering about what that place was like, that place that was featured in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And it's one heck of a story that King tells, and he's pulling passages straight from the Bible on this very last night he preaches. And he's asking, in essence, the question that good pastors ask all of us when we go to church. Who will you be? The people get off the horse or the donkey and help the person who's in need, possibly in a dangerous place, or the person who walks by? And this is a question for the ages. In fact, that's what I think was so interesting about King and why it's so fascinating that folks would leave his love of the Bible out. I mean, in the 1950s, this young African-American male could have studied a bunch of things in college, but he decided to choose Bible studies at a time when technology was changing, when communications were changing. And here he is studying a book that is as old can be, but in his mind as relevant could be. And I think what he was trying to say to the world was, look, technology moves fast and it changes, but man does not. Man's struggle with his own sins does not. You can step into any of those Bible stories and see yourself. That's how modern they are. And in the end, the biggest enemy we have, and I think King would routinely say this, is that man looking back at us in the mirror, or woman. And how do we grapple with our own sin? How do we grapple with life here on earth versus our eternal souls? That's what church is about. That's what the pursuit of God is about. The eternal versus the temporal. And for King, these were really important things to talk about with not only his church, not only his colleagues, but with the nation.
Okay, so let's go back to the April 1968, the night before he was killed in Memphis, Tennessee. He, as you said, he was preaching. And I think one of his statements in that sermon was, I've been to the mountaintop, and he somehow had a reference there that could easily be interpreted to be saying, I'm not sure how much longer I have to go. And that turned out to be very prophetic, but of course he was handing on the reins so that, you know, the work would continue even if he were to go. What are your thoughts on that speech, in terms of where he was basically, you know, implying that he might not be around for long, but let the work continue?
Well, he said, like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. So, I mean, here he is talking about his own lifespan. And by the way, there were lots of death threats. He got them all the time. And there they were in Memphis, from the FBI, from the state police, from the city police. This was a daily part of King's life. And so he didn't live in fear. And he it was a prophetic speech, because I think he knew deep down inside that one day, sooner or later, somebody who didn't like him, and there were all kinds of people who hated King's message, and particularly rabid racists and segregationists, were going to want him to see him die the same way John Wilkes Booth wanted to see Abraham Lincoln die. I think what was always most fascinating is why would people leave this animating passion of King out of his story? I wrote one line I wrote was that leaving the Bible and Jesus Christ out of King's life would be like leaving basketball out of Michael Jordan's or hamburgers out of Ray Kroc's. It's just impossible to understand the man without understanding not only his life's work, but his life's passion. And that's Christ and the Bible. That's Christ and the Bible.
That is so true. In fact, when you mention to somebody, you know, well, what did Martin Luther King actually do for a living? Well, he was a Baptist minister. What? You know, oh, I mean, that's where it was all launched from the church, and people seem to secularize the whole thing. Now, what would you say to those who let's say, you know, we know all human beings are sinners. We all have feet of clay, myself included. I'm sure you do. And so, but some people, you know, point to some aspects of Dr. King's life or, you know, that, where he wasn't acting up to the Christian standards. And your thoughts on that?
Well, he's a man. He's guilty of being a human being is all I would say. And that all of us have sin. We grapple with it. We've had our bad days, our really tragic and awful days. And we haven't lived up to the word, but that's what repentance is about. That's what forgiveness is about. That's why Christ died on the cross. If you're a Christian, you believe he forgave us for all of us for all of our sins. And so we can critique that like we would critique each other for falling short. But this does not only not deter from his greatness, it's proof that he was a human being and not Saint King, but Mr. King. He was a human being. And I think that's the most interesting part of that is imagine his struggles. Imagine how much Satan wanted to take a guy like King down. Imagine what he had to deal with each and every day. So I say have compassion for the man, pray for the man, and in the end, understand that he's no different than you or I as it relates to the things he has to struggle with daily, the sin he has to struggle with throughout his life.
So in other words, that's what you're saying for those that knew him personally, that they would want to have prayed for him. And in the same way, we want to pray for each of us who are alive, you know, that we would live the Christian life that we espouse. We have about a minute or so left. Are there any famous quotes from Dr. King, or maybe even some unfamous quotes from Reverend King that you want to highlight, some that have meant a lot to you?
Well, I just love what he talked about in a speech about the moral order. And it's called the Knocking at Midnight speech. And at one point, he just says, moral principles have lost their distinctiveness. For modern man, absolute right and wrong are a matter of what the majority is doing. Right and wrong are relative to likes and dislikes and the customs of a community. We have unconsciously applied Einstein's theory of relativity, which properly described the physical universe, to the moral and ethical realm. This mentality has brought a tragic breakdown of moral standards, and the midnight of moral degeneration deepens. This is King talking to America, and in some ways, he's talking to himself, right? He's talking to himself.
Excellent. And weren't there some other quotes where he was basically saying along the lines of, don't hate those that hate us, show them love instead, which is like what Jesus said, love your enemies, don't hate them.
Well, that was not only his message routinely in print. Moreover, it was his message in how he conducted himself and how he behaved under tremendous pressure and violence, how he kept that suit and tie on, maintained his dignity, talked about loving your neighbor. He talked about dreaming of the day where we will be judged not by the color of our skin, by the content of our character.
Excellent.
What a dream he had.
Yes,
what a dream he had.
That is. And in fact, let me just give you a website because that's all we have time for. OurAmericanStories.com. Lee Habib, thank you very much. Obviously, one of these American stories is all about Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. All right. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.